1 Samuel chapter 18. Begin with verse 1. Hear now these words. When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of his robe he was wearing and gave to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him. As a result, Saul set him over the army, and the people, even the servants of Saul, approved. My friends, it's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So you may recall, we started a study in 1 Samuel way back on Mother's Day. Talk about Hannah, about having hope when things seem hopeless. And how Hannah would go to the tabernacle, weeping and praying because she didn't have a child. God answered that prayer, and she had a son named Samuel, and she dedicated Samuel to the Lord. And then we next study about Samuel, about listening to God. As a small child, Samuel could hear his name being called by the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant listens. And thus Samuel became the great leader, the spiritual advisor, the people of Israel, and God of them. But then the people of Israel wanted to have a king. And the Lord told Samuel, don't get upset. They didn't reject you. They rejected me. They didn't want me to be their king. And so Samuel goes out and anoints the first king, a guy named Saul. And that Sunday we talk about how Saul became king. It said he was giving a new heart, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon him powerfully. And Saul had a great beginning as a king. Unfortunately, the next lesson, we saw how King Saul got himself into a whirlwind of trouble by his partial obedience. As I hammer home, partial obedience is disobedience. He would kind of sort of do what the Lord told him. And the result was, Samuel has to say, Saul, you've been fired. The Lord is going to appoint a man after his own heart to be the king. And then the next lesson we had about how Samuel goes to the little town of Bethlehem, the house of Jesse. Anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king. He sees the firstborn son and says, he's tall like Saul. This must be the king right here. And the Lord said, no, Samuel, Men judge by the outward appearance. The Lord looks in a man's heart. And one by one by one, all those sons got rejected. Samuel got confused. He said, Jesse, you got any other sons? Oh, yeah. Got David. He left him in the back of the sheep. I knew you wouldn't want him. Bring David in. And when David walked in from the sheep pasture, the Lord said, here's my man. Mentor my own heart. This will be the shepherd of Israel. And then we have a lesson about courage. The Philistines were lined up, Israelites lined up, and there's King Saul shaking, didn't know what to do. And the Philistines had their top man, Goliath, 9 feet something tall. Then here comes little David playing gopher, delivering lunch for his brothers. Hey, King, I'll take Mo. Boy, you can't do that. I take it on the lion, take it on the bear. The Lord saved me both times. Lions, bears, and Philistine, oh my, the Lord saved me three in a row. I'll be three for three. So we have that great scene where David comes out. Live looks at him and says, boy, what do you think you're doing? Am I some stray dog? I'm going to pin you to the ground. David said, you come in with a sword, javelin, and spear. But I come to you in the name of the Lord for you to fight. I will knock you down and cut your head off. And all Israel should know there is a God in Israel. And thus get the famous story of David and Goliath, the great knockout victory. And then last week, we look at King Saul and the problem of jealousy. David became such a great warrior, such a folk hero, that the women were singing these songs that Saul killed his thousands, that David killed his 10,000s. And Saul got jealous and was acting all sorts of craziness. And it's so dangerous when we come jealous of others instead of being grateful for others, what they've done for us. You know, we have contentment in our hearts. God is this great game. When we're on our phones looking at who has this, who has that, we get bitter and jealous. And that's not good. This week, I'm going to look at friendship, being a loyal friend. And as we go through this, I want you to ask yourself, who in your life is your loyal friend? And then, who are you the friend to? And so, chapter 18 starts immediately after David and Goliath. And Jonathan sees David, and he's impressed. Now, Jonathan is a great warrior. We talked about on one occasion, Jonathan and his armor bearer together. And Jonathan said, come on, follow me. And those two by themselves took on the Philistines and put them into the rout, two men by themselves. Jonathan is a great warrior. The Lord has delivered the Philistines to my hands. And as you will see, he was also a very godly person. And so here's Jonathan, the royal prince. And he's looking over and he sees this new guy named David, the shepherd. That'd be like, I guess in our culture, Prince Harry looking over at Cowboy, Mount West. Prince William. Take your pick. David doesn't have anything. He's a poor kid. But what does Jonathan do? Jonathan gives him his robe, his armor, sword, bow, belt. And he shows David probably how to use that sword and stuff. He takes David on, diamond rough. Unlike his dad, he's not jealous of David. He says, this is a good guy. This is a warrior. My kind of man right here. And thus it says how Jonathan's soul knitted into the soul of David. Well, in chapter 19, we see where Saul's jealousy, that we talked about last week, and Jonathan's loyalty kind of clash. Chapter 19, verse 1. Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all his servants about killing David. But Saul's son Jonathan took delight in David. Jonathan told David, my father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I'll go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are. And I'll speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you. And Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, the king should not sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, because his deeds have been a great service for you. For he took his life in his hands when he attacked the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great victory for all of Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against an innocent person by killing David without cause? Saul heard the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swore, as the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death. So Jonathan called David and related all these things to him. Jonathan then brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before. So we see where Jonathan goes to bat for David. Jonathan goes to his dad and says, hey, Dad, what are you talking about killing David for? He ain't done nothing wrong. Don't you remember how he went out one-on-one to on the Philistine and killed him? God gave us a great victory. You should not bring shame upon yourself and Israel by killing an innocent man. And Saul's heart got stirred, and he repented and said, the Lord lives, I will not kill David. The only problem was, a few chapters verses later, Saul changed his mind again. And so, we get a situation in chapter 20. David is on the run. And for the rest of his book, David is going to be on the run from King Saul. Okay? And talks about how David meets Jonathan and says, what have I done? What's my guilt? What's my sin against your father? He's trying to take my life. Jonathan says, don't worry. I'll talk to him and see what's going on. Okay? And so they had this conversation. And in verse 12, Jonathan said to David, by the Lord, the God of Israel, when I have sound out my father about this time tomorrow, or on the third day, if he is well disposed towards David, shall I not send and expose it to you? If my father intends to do you harm, the Lord do so to Jonathan, and more also, if I do not dispose of you, and send you away, that you may go in safety. May the Lord be with you, as he had been with my father. If I am still alive, show me the faithful love of the Lord. If I die, never cut off your faithful love from my house, even if the Lord cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Thus Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord seek out the enemies of David. And Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him, for he loved him as he loved his own life. So Jonathan and David have a little plan worked out. Jonathan's job is to go back to the palace and talk to dear old dad and see how dad is feeling these days towards David. And if he doesn't like you, David, I'm going to tell you, you get out of town. If he's cool with you, you come back to the palace. He says that my only request is this, that regardless of what happens, we still be friends. And if something ever happened to me, you take care of my family, take care of my kids. And thus they swore this up. And so, chapter goes on about how King Saul's having dinner there at the dinner table in the palace. Looks around, doesn't see David, doesn't say anything. Next day, he's having dinner. No David. And he says out loud, says, where's David at? How come he hasn't come to the palace for dinner? It's been 2 days. And then Jonathan tells this little white lie and says, oh, well, David asked if he'd go to Bethlehem and make sacrifice. He asked the day off. I tell him, go ahead, he's been such a great warrior. Okay? That seems harmless enough. Verse 30. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman. You better be careful what translation you read that in. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame? For as long as the son of Jesse lives upon the earth, neither you nor your kingdom shall be established. Now send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die. But Jonathan answered his father Saul, why should he be put to death? What has he done? But Saul threw his spear at him to strike him. So Jonathan knew the decision of his father to put David to death. Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger, and ate no food on the sixth day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had disgraced him. You're talking about a rough dinner. When Saul hears that Jonathan gave David the day off, he got so angry, he said, boy, what are you thinking? You're going to fool around, and he's going to steal that kingdom away from you. Instead of you being King Jonathan, you'll be King David. And Jonathan said, well, dang, you didn't do anything wrong. And Dad got so angry, he grabbed his spear and tried to pierce old Jonathan. And Jonathan got a little upset and realizes, my dad's going crazy. So Jonathan sneaks out, and he goes to meet David. And listen to this. David rose from the stone heap, prostrated himself by his face to the ground. He bowed 3 times, and they kissed each other and wept with each other. David wept more. Then Jonathan said to David, go in peace, since both of us have sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord shall be between me and you, between my descendants and your descendants, forever. He got up and left, and Jonathan went into the city. And so for the rest of this time, David will be on the run. Kind of like Robin Hood. And I'm sure David got discouraged being out of the woods, wondering, I thought I was supposed to be king. I'm on the most wanted list in Israel. Well, in chapter 23, verse 15, he gets a visit. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh when he learned that Saul came out to seek his life. Saul's son Jonathan set out and came to David at Horesh. There he strengthened his hand through the Lord. Jonathan said to David, do not be afraid. for the hand of my father Saul shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be second to you. My father Saul also knows this is so. Then the two of them made a covenant before the Lord. They remained in Horesh, and Jonathan went home. Think about that. Jonathan goes out in the woods, finds David, and says, David, don't be afraid. The day is going to come, you will be king of Israel, and I'll be right next to you. I'll be your right-hand man. I know this, you know this, and my father knows this. And they made a covenant. Who in your life is a friend who come to you, encourage you, speak words of wisdom, saying the Lord is with you? And I wish, because I like Jonathan so much, that I could have a good, happy ending to Jonathan's life. Unfortunately, Jonathan ended up paying the ultimate price. Jonathan went to battle with his dad, his father, Saul, his brother, and himself, all three were killed in this battle. And the beginning, what we call 2 Samuel, the servants, the messengers are coming to David and giving him news of the battlefield and say, King Saul is dead. Jonathan is dead too. And David's greatest. In verse 17, it says, David intoned his lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered the song of the bow to be taught to the people of Judah. It's written in the book of Jasher. This is the song he wrote. Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell not in Gath. Proclaim not in the streets of Ashkelon. The daughters of Philistine will rejoice. The daughters uncircumcised will exalt. You mountains of Gibeah, there be no dew or rain upon you, nor boundless fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, anointed the oil, no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fire of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor did the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson and luxury. He put on ornaments of gold in your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of battle. Jonathan lies upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, how the weapons of war perish. And so David, when he hears that his best friend, the guy who looked out for him, died in battle, he breaks down and writes his song about how the mighty have fallen, swifter than eagles, fiercer than lions. Said, Jonathan, you meant more to me than any of these women I ever had in my life. That's how much you meant to my heart. What about us? Something happened to us. There's somebody who would look back on our lives and say, that person made a difference in my life. But I want to show you one last story out of David. Chapter 9. David is thinking about Saul and Jonathan. He asks a servant, is there anyone left in the house of Saul? I may show them kindness. They did some research. Said, yes, boss. Jonathan, during that battle, had a 5-year-old son. When the battle broke out, the nurse picked the son up, rang out the back door, getting away from the enemy. But she dropped him. In doing so, damaged his legs. The man's paralyzed, can't walk. David said, bring them to me. They go pick them up. The guy's thinking, oh, Lord, he found out I'm glad the king saw. He's going to knock me off. So he comes in, cripple guy does. He kneels, bows down, you know, being crippled he is, and says, I'm your servant. And David said to him, do not be afraid. for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of your grandfather Saul, and you yourselves shall eat my table always. And it ends by saying, live in Jerusalem, for he always ate at the king's table. And so you think about it, there's King David, and there's his sons, and there's little Solomon, and over here, the crippled guy, Jonathan's kid. David kept his promise. He promised Jonathan, anything happens to you, I'll take care of your family. And he kept his promise. Now, as Christians, we have a friend as well, don't we? I'm going to close with these verses from John chapter 15. So this is about the ultimate friend. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. And just as Jonathan was a friend of David, was willing to give up everything for David, Jesus, the son of the king, was willing to give up everything for us. And he said, you're not my servants, you're my friends. So what about us? Who's your friend? Can you tell them how much you pray for them? Who are you a friend to? And then most importantly, who's your ultimate friend? The answer to that question would be Jesus. And with that, we're going to sing to him, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.